website, check out all the merchandise on the merchandise page, the T-shirts, the mugs, the usual. Went to the Middle Ages and all I got was this lousy T-shirt with Chris Wynn's picture on it. What is that, like 20, 30 bucks?
Yes. Yes,
yes indeed.
Yes. Not including tax.
Not including World Bank tax. Okay, this is WBAI in New York. I said that already, didn't I? And you're listening to Hard Work with Mike Fader, and I'll be back in just a moment. I'm sorry. Don't even worry about talking while someone else is on the radio. It's not important. And the mugs are genuine imitation.
I didn't snore.
See, now, you know, they keep trying to make this place more professional. And who's dragging it back? It's not me. It's not me. All right, hold on a second. And after this introductory piece of music, we will talk about our topic this morning, the impact of the NAFTA rules from 1996 on Peruvian woven goods.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake 'em down.
Contours, Do You In Fact Care For Me? That's the original title, but they thought it would sell better if it said, Do You Love Me? Okay, this is smack dab in the middle of the summer, right? This is. Do you think of this as I do, is the middle of the summer? Yeah, okay, a couple of announcements. Let's see, on this coming Tuesday, Janet Coleman and David Dozer of Cat Radio Cafe, a renowned duo that have toured in front of the crown heads of Europe, will be playing with me at the Cornelius Street Cafe, which is located, surprisingly enough, on Cornelius Street in picturesque Greenwich Village. This will be this coming Tuesday night from 6 to 8. Janet and David will be doing a kind of bebop poetry play satire thing. And I'll be telling a story about the summertime. And as I say, we'll be from 6 to 8 at the Cornelia Street Cafe. You may call them for directions on how to get there. I can't give them to you now, and I don't have the phone number, as usual. But it should be nice, 6 to 8. And it's in celebration of the Cornelia Street Cafe's month-long celebration of itself. I think it's a 25th anniversary. I'm not sure. It could be 20th anniversary. But in any case, they have been there a long time, and they have one of the best reading poetry and prose and musical series of performances probably of any place in the city. So when you go down there, if you go down there, there's a nice restaurant there. If only I could afford to eat there, but I'm only an artist, so I have to play there, but I can't eat there. You go down there, pick up their list of readings, poetry readings, prose readings, music, whatever. And I guess I'll see some of you there on Tuesday night. Also, if you want to get in touch with me or if you want to find anything about what I do on the air, about books I've written, all sorts of information, biographical stuff, old radio shows that I've done, stories going back 20 years, you can go if you have a computer and have access to the internet. To www.mikefader, F-E-D-E-R, one word, mikefader.com, and sign up for the mailing list while you're there, too. Now, today, I had many different ideas about what to talk about. I see that Ted Williams' body, I should say, has been kidnapped from a funeral home, and where it was supposed to be cremated, and hung upside down in a vat of nitrous oxide or something at minus 240 degrees Fahrenheit for $120,000. It is now frozen. His body is now frozen upside down in a vat somewhere. Kidnapped by his son from a funeral home in the hopes that his DNA will be available to later generations and possibly sold. So that's a very inspiring tale of filial devotion and love. And I noticed in the article in the Daily News about cloning. This is I think it's the name of the corporation. Not the article here. See, here it is. Putting hopes for new life in deep freeze. What's this called? This is called cryonics. Is the process anyhow? Ted Williams is hanging upside down in a frozen vat in Arizona. Based Alcor Life Extension Foundation. So if you want to, apparently also it said there that it costs of only $50,000 if you just want to freeze your head, which leads one to believe that, of course, the brain being for almost half the population, at least half the people I know, the center of most human activity. But, of course, not for everybody. Like, for instance, I was watching, what was it, Sky, what's the name of that movie? Wing Commander or something. It's one of these sci-fi movies, and there was this giant creature on another planet, a giant bug, of course. Bugs are getting a really bad rap these days. And Denise Richards, you know Denise Richards? Who is really gorgeous, right? She's the pilot of a spaceship, and she is captured by a giant bug. And the first thing it does when it gets her at its mercy is suck her brain out. Now, that really doesn't create a whole lot of tension in the movie. So I'm just saying that there may be different parts of people that are more valuable to freeze than other people. And in fact, the Alcor Corporation says that it's believed that it costs $120,000 to freeze an entire body. They don't do it by the pound. So even if you're like 90 pounds, it'll cost the same if you're 300 pounds. I guess. And they freeze your head for 50 G's. And you could, presumably, there's a menu. There's an option thing. I mean, you could imagine that there are other parts of your body that might be frozen for, I mean, after all, perhaps a fingertip, if you can't afford anything else, might go for $5,000. And I don't know what else you might want to freeze. I don't know what they charge for freezing other parts of your body. But I don't really think there's a whole lot to talk about there. Having talked about it. And there was one other article I want to talk about the radio. However, what I might talk about this morning is something that was talked about. I talked about it briefly for a few minutes last week on my program about Democracy Now, becoming a private corporation, a private organization, breaking off from the Pacifica Foundation. I think what I'm going to do this morning is talk about that for about 15, 20 minutes, because, well, maybe it won't be that long, I hope. I have some documents here, which, and I usually don't do this, but I'll have to read some documents. One is a contract the Pacifica Foundation made with Democracy Now, and the other is some comments, some lengthy comments about the contract. And this will give you an idea of what it's all about, and then maybe we can take phone calls on this. And I believe that's what I will do. It is possible, just possible, that Mr. Bob Fass of BAI fame, since he expressed an interest in this last night when I was talking to him on the phone, might lumber in. He might get himself up and come in and talk about this. And if he doesn't, he might come in sometime in the next week or two if he can get up that early, because he has to get up early from where he lives and travel in. And we'll just talk about radio or something else, because I owe him a guest spot. I was on his show several months ago. Now, where were I? Okay, Democracy. Now, you all know about this. Now, I apologize to everybody used to hearing me ramble personally about some story or something in my head, but this is a very important issue for the radio station that you're listening to. And I have to presume that if you're a new listener, you won't understand much of this, and maybe you could try to follow along, because there's some points about this discussion and some of the things I'm going to say that have to do with radio in general and with nonprofit organizations and basically with who owns what, who owns the airways, what is the ideal of what this radio station, in fact, the entire Pacifica Foundation, our parent group, is all about. So there are some deeper issues at work here. And for those of you who know the radio station, then you must probably know about Democracy Now! Democracy Now!, whose star, there's really no better word for it, is Amy Goodman, who started off as a worker here, a volunteer, probably like a lot of other people, in our public affairs or urban affairs department, which was what it was called like 20, 25 years ago, and worked her way up to be a news reporter. Then she was the head of the news department. And for the last several years, I forget how many years it is, 6, 7 years, she's been running this program, Democracy Now!, which is the Pacifica Foundation's only nationally broadcast program on a regular daily basis that I know of. Of course, there might be others, but that's the one I know about. And it's on 1 hour a day. I think it was on 2 hours a day, an expanded version, when Amy and her crew were thrown off the air by our former manager here from last year. But it's been on for several years now, 1 hour a day, at 9 o'clock. It's on at 9 a.m. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Democracy Now!, it's a sort of a national and global news program, which is perhaps, I would say, it's probably the best news program in the United States compared to any other radio program of news and international affairs interest or any television program. I doubt that there's anything that even compares to it. And one of the main reasons for that is the intelligence, the willpower, the knowledge, the passion, the relentlessness, and even the willfulness of its star, Amy Goodman, who is, I would say, almost unique, or perhaps she is unique, in her approach to the news and her style. And she's just a wonderful host and reporter for this particular news show. And she has taken one of the reasons why the program is so good, if you haven't heard it, and I advise you to tune in at 9 a.m. every morning on WBAI to hear it, less for an hour, is because she puts herself often personally in jeopardy or personally puts herself in places that other reporters wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare do it for fear of losing salaries, going too far, embarrassing their networks, whatever other status-conscious thing that would bother them, mussing their hair, or losing their life, which is she has done upon one or two occasions. So she's an extraordinary person and runs an extraordinary news program and has contacts all over the world and gets reports from inside places that are being shelled and shot at the moment she's talking to them. And she's quite something, and so is the program. The program itself, because it is so good and she's so good at running it, has become a famous program in Pacifica and has raised a lot of money, raise the consciousness of other people in Pacifica. In fact, if we have something called affiliates in the Pacifica Foundation, which are something like 40 or 50, the number keeps changing. College and other local community and nonprofit radio stations, and they're called affiliates of BAA. They're not really affiliates of the Pacifica Foundation. They're just called affiliates, which is kind of a fancy word for saying that they take Democracy Now, and perhaps one or two of our other programs sometimes, but they take Democracy Now on a regular basis, and I guess they pay for it. I don't know what the fee is, but I'm sure it's not very large, but it adds up when you have 50 stations once a day paying, you know, every week after week. So Democracy Now! Has extended the fame of Pacifica way across the country, and then people listen to it in other parts of the world, too. And Amy is quite a celebrity, and she goes around the country, and she speaks, lectures at various, very big on college campuses, that kind of thing. Her program was and has been under attack almost from the beginning because the administration of the Pacifica Foundation nationally and last year locally at BAI found her politics too upsetting, too left-wing. There were some suspicious and really disappointing ties with Pacifica and people at BAI with the Democratic Party. Amy's always championed Ralph Nader, for instance, and so because of her attitude, which is unflinching and unrelenting, and she doesn't back down, and because she has certain political views, which you would have to say are radical, and she was harassed in a million different ways, and finally her program, was taken off the air on other Pacifica stations by the Pacifica Foundation. This happened last year. It was a real crisis. And around the station here, she was seen as the major enemy, enemy number one of the administration, which was thrown out of here about 7 or 8 months ago. And they harassed her staff. They harassed her. They made life utterly miserable for her and her program. And she retreated to a place which is known as the Firehouse. This is it's something called Indie Media. It's a renovated firehouse about, 10 blocks from here, somewhere downtown Manhattan near Canal Street or somewhere around here. And she does her program now, has done it since last June or July when she left here and was sort of harassed out of here. And she's done it from there since then. Since that time, and the facilities, we're all given to understand, are far better there. In other words, the machinery, the equipment, the facilities, obviously the way she's treated, everything is far better there. And access to phone lines, everything works better there. So she's never coming back here. She never came back when the fired band and the rest of us all sort of arrived back here at the radio station after our year-long nightmare ended sometime in early January. She stayed out and is going to stay out forever. And she now has a contract which sort of guarantees that. And she's with this place called Indie Media, which produces television, too. Now, Amy also now is on television, and I think she's expanding or has also expanded into satellite television and is rapidly increasing the reach and scope of her program so that it's going to be much more inclusive. It's going to have more reporters. It's going to have a much larger budget. It's on various forms of TV. Perhaps it will expand to include various things on the Internet. For all I know, print journalism, all kinds of things. Although since it's radio and it's Amy, it'll probably stay electronic media. So there is some... and we still have our little room here where she worked, right across from the studio, which is a little bit like a museum right now. It's it's the Amy Goodman Democracy Now! Tableau Museum, which we ought to charge people to come visit it. You know, the old days. This is where Amy Goodman used to work. It's now partially used by a place called Free Speech Radio News, which is this wonderful news service, also kind of an independent organization. Nobody quite knows, as far as I know, who owns it or what its relationship is to the Pacifica Foundation, which is yet to be decided, I guess. Anyhow, this Free Speech Radio News, which Amy was very much involved in and helped to develop, I think, works out of there now. So anyhow, the office is there, and a lot of her archives and other things have to be sort of removed and brought to wherever her new corporate headquarters are. Anyhow, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, a contract was signed between the head of the Pacifica Foundation, Leslie Kagan, and the director of executive director of the Pacifica Foundation, Dan Coughlin, was signed with Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! In effect, Democracy Now! Is no longer part of the Pacifica Foundation. Amy is no longer an employee of the Pacifica Foundation, which she was for all these years up until this contract was signed several weeks ago. Her crew are no longer paid as a direct members of the Pacifica Foundation, although they are paid under this contract a good deal of money by the Pacifica Foundation. So, and now Amy and Democracy Now, Amy owns the trademark rights and the intellectual property rights of Democracy Now. That was given to her in this contract. Also, she has control over the archives of Democracy Now, although there's a complicated schedule about who can sell programs and in what form. She has control over the archives of Democracy Now, which is an extremely valuable asset. She also, according to this contract, has Democracy Now has twice a year, the Pacifica Foundation is bound by this contract to give Amy and Democracy Now Incorporated, or whatever it's called in this contract, the subscriber list. Anybody who contributes to the station or subscribes to the station with all the names and addresses and phone numbers, so that Democracy Now can use this same subscriber list that Pacifica Foundation, WBAI, uses to raise money independently for her program. In this contract, the Pacifica Foundation agrees to pay something like $400,000 a year with yearly increases to help produce the program, which, according to Amy, and she issued a letter stating this, is 35% less of the budget that she needs. She needs about $630,000 a year, she says, to run Democracy Now the way it's run. The Pacifica Foundation also agrees to pay her phone expenses, which are an estimated $50,000 a year. She claims that will pay. She claims also that it's much more money than that to run the phones. We're paying several hundred thousand dollars a year for this program. Under the contract, she is obliged to keep raising money for us. And as I said before briefly, and I'll say again, Amy is our main fundraiser for BAI and for Pacifica. Maybe Gary Null and she are sort of neck and neck, but essentially she's our big fundraiser, and she raises a roughly $2 million a year for the Pacifica Foundation, $2 million a year. As of now, according to the letter she wrote right about this time, she's raised about $1,300,000 already for the Pacifica Foundation just this year. So that is the essence of what's going on. But a lot of people feel that, and you'll have to have some patience here because I don't usually do this, and I'm going to read a couple of things to you, and they're not short, so just so you get an idea. You can find this contract at a place called www.bai.net, www.wbai.net, okay, and you can find the contract there. I'm not going to read all these legal words. It'll just put you to sleep. But basically, she is due this money. It's a 5-year contract starting from now. And maybe I won't read all this stuff. I'll just sort of explain it to you. You'll have to hope that I've got everything right. It's a 5-year contract. A lot of people feel this contract is very deleterious to the Pacifica Foundation and to WBAI for ethical and symbolic reasons the practical effect of what it could do to other things that happened with this foundation. Also, that the contract is really an awful one for the Pacifica Foundation. Essentially, what happened is it's just a poor contract. We gave away a lot more, I think, than we're going to get. But that's a separate issue from the philosophical discussion and what finally will be a practical effect of letting perhaps our major asset of the Pacifica Foundation become private, and then contracting with this formerly owned asset for their services at a huge rate of money for an organization which is almost bankrupt. The Pacifica Foundation, looted and run incompetently, as it had been for several years, by the worst sorts of people, is several million dollars in debt. This radio station itself is, for all I know, several hundred thousand dollars in debt. I don't have the exact figure. And yet, a few short months after taking control of it again, taking it away from the people who looted it and ruined it, we are, and having a debt of several million dollars, which we're attempting to negotiate down, and in pretty dire jeopardy, unless we go ahead and sell one of the licenses, which I think we're forbidden to do by a court ruling in this case. unless we did that, and if we can't do that, we have just recently a nearly bankrupt corporation or foundation has contracted to come up with several $100,000 a year on a regular basis, and with increments built into it, for the promise, for merely the promise, not the obligation, it says here, but the promise of Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Continuing to raise funds as they have before. And one of the other aspects of the contract is that these other radio stations, which are called affiliates, are going to can really, if you look at this contract, there aren't too many. There are lots of loopholes in the contract where these affiliates can wind up just contracting to pay Democracy Now! Eventually, and not the Pacifica Foundation. Now, I can't say that I contacted Amy to talk about this, and I guess I should, and maybe I'll try to do that during the week and see if she wants to come on next Sunday to talk about this. Another personality involved in this, a person who sounded the alarm, somebody who was an active member of the WBAI community, who was, let's call him a former businessman or a current businessman, who knows a lot about the law and about contracts, is a man named Stephen Brown. And he appeared yesterday on Radio Free Erin, a wonderful program on every Saturday from 1:30 to 3, which talks about, as it sounds, about mostly political issues and some cultural issues that have to do with Ireland and the Irish in New York, but mostly Ireland, and various other things. Also about BAI, a very political program. John McDonough, who runs the program, is in charge of a lot of the satire programs that you have heard on BAI from time to time. That was discussed yesterday, and I didn't really have a chance to get in touch with Stephen because this is sort of a last-minute decision to do this now. I was going to try to do it next week, but for various reasons, I'm doing this now. So the contract, I should bring you up to date on this. Amy issued a letter, along with Chris Abrams, who is her main producer, saying that, in fact, the deal is not as bad as it looks, that they're getting less money in this contract than they really need to produce their program. And they, you know, that they made a deal against even the advice of their lawyers to be as cozy with Pacifica and be as part of Pacifica as possible, that they will announce that they are Pacifica Radio. In fact, one of the comments by Leslie Kagan, who is our national board chairwoman who signed this contract, was that listeners won't even really know the difference. And she doesn't mean this to, like, pulling the wool over people's eyes, but, you know, basically it'll sound exactly the same. Why? Because, you know, Amy Goodman will say, You have just heard Democracy Now! Or whatever it is, Pacifica Radio, whatever. Okay, so she agrees to keep doing that. And Pacifica Radio, of course, is her distributor. You know, I mean, part of the contract is that we get to distribute her show. But the limitations and the giveaways are extraordinary in this program, in this contract. She feels, though, Amy feels, that she's issued a very long letter, and that is also on www.bai.net, that is very important to understand that this contract is not as one-sided as it looks from her point of view, that the amount that Pacifica pledges to give her is far less than she needs to do her program adequately or to even ever expand it. And one of the other important issues here I'll mention, I know I'm not doing this in a linear way, but what have I ever done that way? Well, by the way, if you're just tuning in, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. This is Mike Fader with Hard Work. And we are talking about a controversy that has developed and a profound sort of issue that has developed here at the Pacifica Foundation and WBAI, which has to do with the fact that recently a contract was signed where Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Are now a private enterprise which owns the name Democracy Now! We gave away the rights to that name. Now, two other items I'll mention, maybe two or three, and then we'll take phone calls on this issue. One is that since Amy Goodman's show, which is so vitally important, which is such a brilliant program, was harassed, taken off the air, since it was interrupted, attempted to be censored, since she put up with such incompetence and viciousness and stupidity and deliberate intrusion and censorship from people in the Pacifica Foundation over the last couple of years, she felt that it was important, and she made this deal with the head of the Pacifica Foundation now, Leslie Kagan, and other people, that when the stations were retaken from this group, that immediately negotiations would be entered upon to make her an independent contractor, that she wouldn't be an employee, and that she and her program would not be at the mercy of the vagaries of politics and the possibility of takeovers and censorship ever again. She and I suppose other people in the foundation and perhaps many of you feel that her program is far too valuable to once again be submitted to the odd winds and currents which could sink it again at any time in the Pacifica Foundation. Many people feel that now we're going to build guarantees in the way that this foundation works, that she would never have to suffer from that again, but there's no guarantee. And she maintains that it's absolutely essential to have an independent program. So this is one of the most important points. Another point that people make on the other side is that the Pacifica Foundation, in a way, and Amy should have known better, the Pacifica Foundation has no right to bargain away democracy now, to bargain away its subscribership lists, its donor lists, to give away all sorts of rights to archives. The point being that for the last several years, the Pacifica Foundation has given Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! An hour a day, every day, every weekday, for several years, provided a couple of $1 million worth of assets, like technical facilities, salaries, plane tickets, millions of other things, tape, whatever is necessary for her and her crew to do the program, given her all this airtime. When you add it all up, the Pacifica Foundation has really given over $10 to $15 million worth of airtime, equipment, salaries, travel expenses, and other things. And to give that away so easily is something that's really not right. And the deeper issue is this, too. Who are they to give away a major asset of a foundation which really belongs to the people? Now, you know how every time we raise money and we talk here at BAI, and we're doing this more and more all the time now because of the promise to be more democratic, we say this is your radio station. For the last several years, tens of thousands of people have given millions and millions of dollars through Democracy Now! To the Pacifica Foundation, to WBAI, assuming that it's all the same thing. And they were right to assume that. So basically, the Pacifica Foundation, in the form of one or two people, signed a contract giving away the ownership and the rights and the investment of hundreds of thousands of subscribers and donors and listeners to this radio station. A lot of people question whether they even have the right to do a thing like that. Now, I'm sure I'm leaving out a few other points and issues, too. One last thing I'll tell you is that maybe, I don't know what the motive is, but maybe surprised by the level of anger or disappointment at this contract, maybe having second thoughts, whatever, even though Amy and her crew have issued a letter saying that they think it's an eminently fair contract and they're absolutely dedicated to Pacifica, et cetera, they feel that, that they are ready to go and sort of renegotiate. So at this very moment, just to bring you up to date before we go right to the phones here, Democracy Now! And the Pacifica Foundation are talking, at least informally, if not formally for all I know, and possibly there may be a renegotiation of some of the more difficult or troubling or hard to accept points in this contract. One of the main ones being the giving away twice a year of the subscriber and donor list, among other things. So that's where it stands right now. As far as the philosophical issue goes, this sets a precedent. Now, this is more my opinion. This sets a precedent which could be very disturbing and ultimately, in a way, could probably cause the utter and complete final unraveling of WBAI and the Pacifica Foundation. What is now to stop Gary Null, Armand DeMille, you name a couple of other shows that raise hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, in Null's case, maybe $1 million a year for the Pacifica Foundation and for BAI, big programs that raise a lot of money. What is to stop these people from saying, you won't have our services or our program anymore unless you negotiate this following contract with us? Give us the rights to all of these things, give us the right to your donor list, provide production expenses, that kind of thing. Seems to me that this precedent is being set right now. Furthermore, what is to stop, for instance, about half the money for this to make a WBAI run every year, maybe 60% of it comes from unpaid producers like myself. If you add up like 70 or 80 unpaid producers who do regular programs on this, Chris Wendt, Fred Hershkowitz, Cat Radio Cafe, anybody who's not paid to be broadcaster here. We do it, you know, unpaid. What if we all got together, every last one of us here, who are an unpaid producer, formed the Unpaid Producers Foundation Incorporated, and said that we have to have a contract now, too. We have to have our expenses paid, our production expenses, our travel expenses, our when we buy records, when we buy newspapers, magazines, when we have guests come in, we may want to get them dinner or something like that. That's the only right thing to do, right? And we want $100,000 a year or $200,000 a year from WBAI, or else they don't get our program either. This is a precedent, it seems to me, that sort of almost looks to the complete unraveling of what the Pacifica Foundation may have started out to be, and maybe it should be, which is what Lou Hill, the founder, envisioned to be, a producers' collective. A producers' collective. The whole point being that this one place would sort of stay together like a family to try to influence the world in a way which would benefit people. So the rich would not have everything and the poor would have nothing. So there would not be wars every minute of our lives, this kind of thing. For people to start breaking into private enterprises and private corporations sets a horrible precedent, I think. But and the other one last minor item, I'm sorry, I keep adding these items, is that Democracy Now! Has presumably a board of directors. We don't know who they are. We have no idea who they are. It has been rumored, and I don't know if it's true or not, that Democracy Now! Has gotten money from George Soros, who is a billionaire and who is a member of whatever it is, the World Bank or something like that, a very left-leaning man, a very humane man, still a billionaire and a man who makes money by leveraging and trading companies and buying on the stock market, one of the supreme capitalists of our country, an international capitalist. So George Soros has given money to them. The Ford Foundation, who has given money across the board to liberal and conservative organizations, has given money to Democracy Now! Who else is giving money to Democracy Now! Who's on the board of directors there? Maybe one day the board of directors of Democracy Now! Will tell Amy that she can't say this and she can't say that. Maybe that will happen there, too. And maybe her show would be influenced by people that we would never associate with here at the Pacifica Foundation or WBAI, and yet that program would be carried over our airways by contract. There are lots of things to talk about here, and I'm sorry I took up so much time, but it's a complex issue. The number to call here is 209-2900, and we'll see if we can get some calls. And the first thing I'm going to do is cut off everybody who's been calling the whole time because you weren't listening, so you don't really know, really, you're not really carefully considering the issue, in my opinion. Okay, 209-2900, the phone lines are open now. Let's see if the phones work. You should be on the radio.
Good morning.
Hi.
I don't think anyone could blame some of your people like Gary Null or the young lady who runs Democracy Now.
Amy Goodman.
Amy Goodman, thank you. I don't think anyone can blame them for attempting to protect their own efforts because the station was almost lost and they were almost ruined when those proto-fascists under Nutri's lead attempted to take over. The people on air, few of them spoke out, but everyone more or less let it happen. The listeners saved the station. And I don't know why people didn't speak out. I mean, the handwriting was up on the wall and flashing neon letters for a long time. Everybody could see what was taking place as it was going down. People may have been afraid to speak out against people of color or whatever it was. But with all that happened...
So in other words, you think since this might happen again, they're justified in protecting themselves?
That's right, because there's nothing to protect them otherwise.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
209-2900. You're on the radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike. That one of the tragic fallacies of the left, of course, is everyone loves each other and gets along, and that's not true. And the best you can hope for, I think, in a well, kind of a libertarian, is that the government could just guarantee everyone has some kind of equity or fairness. But you have a good point there about how, why should you be treated that? Why should you have a contract or all the, you know, it creates that split. Now you have another divisive, you know, the whole splintering phenomenon of the left.
Well, you know, the
unpaid versus the paid, you know.
Maybe it's not a bad idea for the unpaid producers here to get together and organize, form a corporation, and charge for our services.
You're oppressed. You're an oppressed group now.
Well, I'm joking.
Yeah, but.
I'm not joking. I'm serious. Why shouldn't we all do that now? I mean, if that's the precedent, let's just do it and protect ourselves.
You make a very valid point, and that, you know, it creates that division. Now there's the group of the paid versus the unpaid,
which is
know.
The very division when it gets extreme that this whole place was created to fight against.
And that's what almost destroyed it last time, when Utrecht and her gang tried to hijack the whole, you know, process when they were trying to sell the stations. You know, there's gold in them, our hills. I mean, Pacifica owns licenses worth, what, $500 million?
Oh, sure.
At least. And when there's money there, you know, they smell it, boy. You know, the greed heads smell it, and they're out, you know, in any way possible to try and cash in on it.
What's your final take on what happened to them?
I kind of think maybe you're right. That if it's going to be, you know, an open process like you suggest, that you should have, you know, some. But, you know, there's the dilemma. How do you protect people who are, you know, kind of almost, she was being screwed at the, in the last administration when Utrecht was there. They were trying to edge her out. She was, I believe, the Svengali that Utrecht used to refer to.
So you think she was right to protect herself by doing this?
Therein lies the dilemma. She's right and she's not right.
it's a complex issue, right?
Very complex. And I see your point very clearly, and I agree with you on one level that you're being unpaid is unfair too. You're producing a
I'm not making an issue of being paid. In fact, most of us who come down here wouldn't mind it, but on the other hand, that's not essentially why we're here, nor do we have to. But, you know, that's just an issue that could develop, you know.
Most of the people there do it as a labor of love.
Or vanity, whatever.
Or vanity, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's okay, too. There's nothing wrong with, you know, a little ego and vanity. But, you know, why should some people be paid? And supposedly she's getting a fairly good salary.
Well, for Pacifica, it's a pretty high salary.
Salary also. But you also said the archives, the custom.
Yeah, that's worth a lot.
That is worth a lot. And it creates a real division. And on some level, you know, the ideal would be that everyone is treated equally. It's supposedly a democratic system. And that nobody should have that leverage, you know. But then again, I see the point of, protecting your own turf.
No.
And therein lies the classic dilemma of the left, you know, that people aren't selfish. They are. You know, the whole thing of the left is, you know, from each according to his means and to each according to his needs. And it's a very utopian ideal. It might work even in a Christian monastery or a Buddhist monastery. There's divisions and politics. But this is, you know, one of the dilemmas of the left, that everyone loves each other and gets along. That's baloney. I love that thing you once wrote in your book. I didn't read it, but you quoted it. When you first came to BAI and you were, like, manager or something,
right.
And you said there was the Black Panther faction, then another faction, and they were all trying to kill each other and trample each other trump each other.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's human nature, you know, that the power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolute.
Well, let me move on.
Okay, but you make a good point, and your show is very good.
Okay.
I always loved you, Mike.
Well, thanks for calling. All right. Let's see if we can get more specific about this, or perhaps not. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the show. And
sure.
I got to say, my heart's breaking again after that year of, you know, such painful radio. And I just want to say that I did support it. I didn't support the boycott. I did support BAI because of basically for what Michio Kaku said, is we have to have a radio station to fight over. That being said, I mean, I love Amy's show, and I'm so happy that Democracy Now! Is growing beyond BAI. But what pains me to no extent is that, you know, the right does not have to work very hard to destroy us. Because, you know, we're doing a pretty good job of doing it ourselves.
Yeah, that seems to be the general attitude.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, I really hope you get Amy's point of view on this. Because, I mean, she deserves... You know, I mean, I'm hearing one side, and
right,
I know there's
right.
a different side.
And, obviously, you know, I have one opinion, you know. So.
Yeah, I mean, Amy deserves what, you know, which as much as she can get because she's a tremendous asset.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing she has to realize about those archives is, you know, without BAI, there will be no archive either. And I think, you know, it should be shared. You know, I mean, she should not have exclusive rights to press Democracy Now! Shows, and Pacifica should not have, you know, all the rights to it. I mean, it should be shared, you know.
Now, this is presumed.
It's like trying to split a child. You know, whose child is it, the father's or the mother's? You know,
Pacifica, I didn't read you the exact wording of the contract, and I could have that wrong. Pacifica has the right to sell, I think it's current shows, like tapes of current shows, and they can make good money doing that, right? But as far as the previous archives dating back at a certain point, I think she really has control over that. So I don't know about the I could be a little bit wrong on the wording of that there. What I'll try to do is see if I could get her or somebody from her show to come on and talk about this next week.
Yeah, that'll be very enlightening. And, you know, I mean, to hear it coming from, you know, especially Amy Gilman, like talking about being blindsided, I mean, that's the last place I would, you know, even think of, you know, trying. And it's even hard to say, like, trying to make money off of it.
Well, I don't think she's trying to make money. I know her for a long time, and I don't think money is the issue. I think making sure her program is safe and making sure her program can expand, which both of which they couldn't really honestly do, considering the state of the Pacifica Foundation currently and what it could even be in the future. This is a very changeable place, to put it very mildly, and it also doesn't have much money. And if she wants to expand the scope of her program, she's not going to be able to do it just by being an exclusive employee of this place. So that's the way it goes.
So another way might be like Pacifica Network is kind of like holding her back. She should definitely cut away from Pacifica, because I mean, if what she's doing now and that's being held back, you just imagine if she was let free, what tremendous show that would be.
Well, maybe she could do that and just call it the Amy Goodman Show. It doesn't have to be Democracy Now! I don't know how this works. It's a lot of questions here, you know. So.
Yeah, because, you know, the thing is that scares me is that Pacific is not that strong to begin with, especially what's going on with Washington and Houston. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we still got to keep our eyes open because we got this small victory, you know, now, you know. And, I mean, what's to say that things can't go in reverse, especially what's going on around the world with, you know, the Bush and Ashcroft and all that jazz. You know, I mean, they're probably loving this right now. They're probably sitting back and saying, you know what, let's just sit back and relax and see if they could destroy themselves. I mean, you know, to me, like, you just made a perfect point. What's to say what if Gary Noll decides to do the same thing? You know, and
there's other programs, too. Armand DeMille makes a good chunk of money here for the station. You know, all of us. I mean, after all, they get a lot for themselves, too. You know, I mean, that's how it works.
Right.
I mean,
and they deserve it. You know, I guess in a perfect world, everybody should get paid, you know, and get that justice. But it just gets me nervous when I see, like, Pacifica being threatened, because as bad as Pacifica is, I honestly feel that's the only ray of light. That's the only bit of oxygen we get. I mean, it might be polluted. The water might be polluted. That's the only source.
Well, I think it all depends.
That's accessible and it's free, because not everybody has a computer. I just got a computer recently, and thank God, you know, because I could check out Web Active. I could, you know, tune in on the internet, check out our OPAS site, but a lot of people don't have that type of technology, and radio is, you know, basically free.
I estimated once that I probably, aside from the actual money I raise three times a year on the air, maybe just because of the shows I do or because of a combination of things, I might be worth, I don't know, conservatively $25,000 a year to the station. You know, and if you add all of us up, now what if I just said, you know what? Look, I work hard here. I've worked hard for a long time. I've developed my craft here. I'm worth something to the station. I want $5,000 a year to continue. Or else you don't have my show. Now, they could say, all right, get lost, who needs you? But if we all did that at once, it's an odd circumstance, you know.
Yeah, I just think it sets like a precedent. And it's like, I don't know if you really want to go that road.
Let me try some other calls, man.
Great. Thanks for your time. And try to get Amy on, because I really dying to hear her point of view, because I have much respect for her. That, you know,
sure.
I don't want to form a biased opinion of her, because I mean, especially after the interview with Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like a giant to me right now.
Okay.
And I just pray that, you know, everything works out and that we continue hearing her, you know, intelligent voice on the radio.
Okay.
Thanks for your time. Thanks.
Okay, bye. Yep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the radio.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I sympathize really strongly with Amy's situation, but I think that the solution points in the wrong direction. Let me see if I understand this. She wants to privatize her program.
No, she has done it already.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really, just looking at it from the what will help point of view, I think that the only protection that her show would have is from a strong and democratically run BAI and Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
I think privatizing, saying that going the way of a small business just because it's under your control isn't going to protect the program and maintain the quality of democracy now.
Well, that's a point that a lot of people have made. And to expand on that and explain a little bit about, if I understand what you're talking about, is there's a tremendous movement now to make this foundation, the Pacifica Foundation, and, you know, like, for instance, WBAI locally, so much more answerable to listeners and various groups in the community that this could never happen again, i.e. no one could take over, one small group could take over the place and dictate terms. In fact, that's a kind of utopian fantasy, in my opinion.
I mean,
it's good to have more listener involvement. It's good to have more local board involvement. It's absolutely essential, in fact. And I think people have been cheated out of their rights often enough. One thing that proves it is the fact that this contract was negotiated without ever asking the listeners or anybody else. But in the end, what happens, because it's human nature, is a group of very strong-minded people could take over any movement, no matter how democratic it is.
Yeah, there are no guarantees under capitalism at all, but the point is that she's actually subjecting herself as a smaller unit to, you pointed this out, I mean, she's subjecting herself, she's opening herself up to forces that would, ruin the show.
Well, in fact, she is sort of sacrificing, you know, what she's doing is cutting herself off from the vagaries and the stupidities and the viciousness possible, inherently possible, in the changing nature of Pacifica. She's also cutting herself off from the umbrella protection of Pacifica.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a risk she obviously wants to take.
Yeah, but I also think stepping back from it and subjecting her to the same scrutiny as you would, you know, anyone else, then it's basically putting a program which should be, how do I put it, the purview of the public, just under her sole control and unanswerable to any larger body.
Well, that's true, but, you know, that's the way most programs, including my program, are at BAI, traditionally, is that really no one directs what happens over the programs except the producers, and that's the way I've always liked it. You know, it goes bad, it goes good. That's the way it goes. You know?
Yeah, it's sort of like private schools vis-a-vis public schools.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, too much dictation and too much, direction about what your program is supposed to be about from other people will do nothing but murder the place and petrify it, in my opinion.
So,
anyhow, let me move on.
Yep, okay.
Yep, you're on the air.
Mike?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, for me at least, people are sort of oversimplifying debate, although I think the contract probably should be renegotiated, especially in terms of the archives and who owns it and who has a right to it. Generally, I think what she's doing is engaging in a trend that's happening all over our society, which is people are making not-for-profits. They're constructing not-for-profits in light of a society that has decided that the market is the most important mechanism of organizing human life. She's doing a couple of things, which I really applaud. One is trying to have her own self-determination in terms of controlling the product of her work, which I don't think a socialist can be against, right? A progressive person can be against. And I think she's also trying to engage a broader audience. And this is what happens when you engage a broader audience. And I think BAI, to a certain extent, suffers from a certain amount of insularity of the left, to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even like the question of Soros, the Open Society Institute, which you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Soros has funded all kinds of things. I mean, I know people have gotten grants through their fellowship program, and they're very progressive people. Now, why he does that, I mean, we can get into that. But I think people are, I don't know, there's almost a naive level to the debate, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I think that what she's trying to do is engage a broader audience and protect her work. That's all she's trying to do. And if she's establishing a not-for-profit, there's going to be a board of directors, and I think the board of directors will probably be progressive people. So I'm wondering, as I'm listening to the debate from yesterday and today, are we stirring the pot up because we're sort of bored? Are we, what's going on here?
What about this issue of setting a precedent where everybody who does a show here could have a contract with the station?
Well, you know, I don't think that's a bad idea.
I didn't say it was, but
yeah,
I think
that might be a good idea. Because then, I think I hate to say this, and I say this as someone who's convinced of a left perspective. I think us folks on the left, and I include myself in that group, we have some real naive, moralistic visions of what motivate people. I think if you have a cooperative and there is responsibility and people are getting something, they're getting material incentives instead of moral incentives, whatever that means, I think that's a good thing. The station should think about that. The reality is that on a social level, in terms of our society, we're all being reduced to independent contractors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the real reality of it. Now, the question is, for a lot of us who don't have a lot of social power, you, me, all the regular, you know, working stiffs of, you know, the United States of America, how do those things happen? And one of them is to say, okay, we're all independent contractors,
mm-hmm.
but we're a collective. We're
right.
a cooperative. And that may not be a bad debate to have in the station. You know, especially a station that prides itself on arguing for self-determination, not only artistically, but for oppressed groups as well.
You know, we've got Beyond the Pale coming in right now, and
yeah.
I'm going to take one more short call and then turn it over to them. Beyond the Pale is coming up next here on WBAI, but thanks for calling.
Thank you.
We'll take one more short call, and then we'll hand it over to Beyond the Pale. Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Just let me turn the radio down. Okay, I was surprised when I heard this during the broadcast of the meeting in last month. I would wonder what Lou Hill would say. My remarks will be approximately as follows. In the recent
they better be quick.
Yeah,
they're
I've been so encouraged by the advent of new technologies, new communication technologies, and their possibility for getting news out on progressive issues and serious matters to people around the country and the world. And I think that Pacifica and Democracy Now are much stronger and effective together. Absolutely essential in these times. And what another caller mentioned was that the right wing might use, and probably would, they'd be very vicious in using any opening they could to tear apart of any progressive organization, including media.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's essentially what I wanted to say.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Sure.
Sorry I rambled on so much before and didn't give callers enough time. Maybe we'll continue this next week. Maybe not. I don't know. And you can communicate with me if you want and let me know your opinion about this. All right. Now, stay tuned in a couple of minutes for Beyond the Pale. And what's the guest? Who are the guests today?
We're going to be... Hi, Mike. We're going to be talking about the civic and political struggle over the discourse about the struggle in the Middle East.
Okay. All right.
So we'll be talking with Jeff Dvorkin of NPR and Steve Rendell of FAIR and Daniel Levitas, of the author who's an expert on the right, has a new piece in The Nation on the Christian right, and Joshua Rubner from Jews for Peace and Justice in Israel from D.C.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. You mean, Marilyn, you actually brought somebody from NPR into the People's Radio Station?
Well, not into the station, on the phone.
Oh, on the phone. Thank God. All right. Thank you. All right. So stay tuned for Beyond the Pale.
Why shouldn't they be on the radio?
Here's another debate. See? Thank God for being here. All right. We'll be back. I'll be back next week, and maybe I'll see you Tuesday at Cornelia Street.
Okay. It's finally going to happen. WBAI is going to have this year's first peer party. Sunday, July 14th from 2 to 9 p.m., listeners and producers from all over our listening area will gather at Pier 63 just north of Basketball City. Pier 63 is located at 23rd Street and the West Side Highway. The 23rd Street bus lets you off right in front of the joint. Food, music, live performances by celebrated jazz singer Thos Shipley, spoken word artist, and DJ Tony Ryan on the Wheels of Steel, playing the best dance music on the planet, all for $15. That's this Sunday, July 14th. See you at the Pier.
So stay tuned to Beyond the Pale, the Progressive Jewish Radio Hour, which is going to be up next in just a moment, followed by Sheldon Walden and Walden's Pond, Nancy Rodriguez, and I can't read that.
Ritmo con Ashe.
Ah, okay. And then Chico Alvarez with New World Gallery and Barbara.